and Precious Metals Broker Dealer Depository Service. We've been doing business, as I always tell you, for a little bit of time, a couple decades. We appreciate your business. We like to consider ourselves sort of like the Nordstroms of the coin biz. I know we've got some pretty faithful listeners out there that have been with us for quite some time, and a lot of sweethearts. I talked to a gal the other day, I think it was yesterday and the day before, who was going through some, you know, tough times, and it just, my heart goes out to you guys. One weakness I have is I love people. I absolutely love people. And one problem that I have is I dedicate time to people. I talk. I don't mind talking to people and with people and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just sort of the nature of who I am, I guess. But I just, my heart goes out to you and those of you who have had, you know, are human. You got to remember when you're reading the Bible or studying the Word and you're thinking of things like, you know, some of these stories of things like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How about that? Now, I just wanted to stop right there and ask how many people have three boys they've named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you have, I will give you a free, I'll give you $100 silver free. I have a funny feeling the answer is probably not. And though actually, weren't those names actually given to them by Nebuchadnezzar? I actually think they were. For some reason, he changed their names. In Babylon, they had a different, maybe something to do with the names. I don't know what exactly that was all about, but it was about something, wasn't it? And you know, you just. When you look back in history, wow, I mean, you think about some of these times. And one thing that's really crazy is the amount of brutality. I guess that's the one thing that I think of is we live, folks, if you look at what we're doing as a nation where we have this, what, children basically screaming for socialism, and the media wants a story. So what's the media do? The media hypes it up. They pump it up. They get these kids, children, literally children, and I mean that's what they are. And then they create what? They create not coups, but riots and things like that. They get these kids to overreact and to, you know, and then you get the Antifa and these kids think they're fighting for the cause, the great cause, you know, as they are out vandalizing and trashing things. And, you know, and I mean, it's a little sad. It's a little scary. It's a little sick. It's a little bent out of shape, is it not? What we've become as a nation. Why? Well, because our hands are not full. Okay. Do you really think, I mean, during the Civil War, a lot of people were probably pretty busy, protecting their lives and their homes and, you know, there was some egregious activities. I don't think people realize on American soil some of the egregious activities that took place. Confiscation of commodities, wheat and corn and pork, and you know, you had a house the soldiers had come through and they'd confiscate everything. This happened during the war, too, or during the Revolutionary War. This is why they put that as, I mean, think about it. They put it as one of the Bill of Rights. I mean, you think of the Bill of Rights, where they put in there that an army cannot illegally occupy your home. I mean, in America, see, folks, we have a problem. We have a big problem. It's called being spoiled. It's called life's too easy. And we've got our kids trained. We're tolerating teachers that are teaching our kids rubbish. And we've got children that are coming home brainwashed. I sent my daughter to a quote-unquote Christian school. And she came home really letting me have it about capitalism and not saying a whole lot of nice things about it or me, because I had become a capitalist pig. So I had an amazing, amazing God story. I will tell you, and I have to be careful. I'm going to try to tell it in a way that that I don't get myself in too much trouble. So my daughter is starting, she goes to college, and she just starts to get an attitude. Now, this is a Christian school. Remember, Christian school. I'm going to see what their motto is. And she goes there and she gets a couple professors and a floor monitor, what do you call them, RAs, resident advisors. When I was in college, they called them. So this university says a top Christian college in Southern California, okay? And a top Christian college, they call themselves. And they, you know, they basically, that's how they, you know, that's how they put themselves out there. And it says, blank university develops disciples and scholars prepared to impact the world for Christ, okay? So my daughter goes there. She gets two professors that are feeding her rubbish and baloney, okay? And it had to do with abortion and something else. But she was also getting the anti-capitalistic garbage when we had that What was it on Wall Street? I don't even remember. What you remember the Wall Street protests, whatever the heck they were, right? That makes me mad that I can't remember. It shows you how much I care, because it was a bunch of garbage. In fact, when that was going on, here I go down my road, I ran into David Rockefeller, who had just been glorified for his contribution of $50,000 to Occupy Wall Street. That's what it was, Occupy Wall Street. All this was going on. David Rockefeller gave $50,000, and they acted like he was something special. Do you know what $50,000 is to David Rockefeller? I don't even know what that is to you, but I bet you it's not even a nickel. I mean, but he got his name out there. He got the recognition from the young crowd. He probably uses as an excuse to go, you know, meet some young girls or something. Who even knows? But I had actually gone to a race driving school and a Corvette in Pahrump, Nevada. For Corvettes, and because at the time I had a Corvette, the Corvette ZR1 that came out in 2009, at the time was the fastest production car in the world, which is exactly what I needed, right? But anyway, that actually was a wonderful car. It came with free driving, race driving school. So I met David Rockefeller, And he, you know, we had a brief conversation over lunch. It didn't take long before he had bought a Callaway Corvette. That's an aftermarket company that really highly modifies Corvettes. They're probably the most recognized, respected company that does it. And he, you know, I mean, he was having troubles because he had Goodyear tires on him. I'll tell you guys, you here's some information you won't get on the Christian network. You know, we True Wealth, right? We talk about money and finances, and I've told you, you know, read Consumer Reports before you go buy stuff. They do a lot of extensive testing. If you're into higher end products, they usually don't have that, but they do a nice job of testing products and whatnot and so forth and so on. So, you know, that's along the same lines of what I'm about to tell you. One thing I wanted to tell you is when you get into tires for cars, this is going to be random, but get Michelin tires. Number one, they're the number one race tire out there. They're the number one tire out there. A friend of mine who managed multiple, a chain of tire stores. In fact, my very, very best friend, from high school. And I called him and I said, hey, I had a certain car that had a lot of soup and nuts to it. And I said, hey, I want to get a really good set of tires. What do I get? And he said, Michelin. I said, good. Get four for this car. He goes, I don't sell them. I said, what are you talking about? You're telling me to get something you don't even sell. He said, you asked me what's the best. I said, yes, I did. But why would you sell something? Why would you, you know, pitch something you don't sell? Well, he said, you know, because we're best friends and he's honest. So we've used Michelin's as much as we can. Sometimes it's hard to find the right size. Costco sells them. They're quieter. They're longer. Sometimes, a lot of times, Consumer Reports won't rate them. Why? Because they don't have a written warranty. And you go, ooh, that's not good. No, they last longer. They're softer. They're gooier. Ron Fellows, who won the Le Mans 21 out of 23 years, one of his sponsors was Michelin. He said he got in a relatively serious accident one time at some Grand Prix. I think it was the Le Mans or something in Monaco or whatever. And he said he was doing about 185, 190 miles an hour. You know, they go down regular public streets. I mean, you can imagine how fast that is. And he said he wrecks and his tire blows apart and he sees this crowd of his guys and some competitors running out after him. And he's sitting there going, oh, good, they're going to get me out of my car. And he soon realizes they're not coming for him. They're coming for the simple purpose of competition is trying to steal a piece of the tire that he's using to figure out what the formula is, because of course, no matter how much power you have in a vehicle, unless you're and I'm sorry if you're getting some weird noises here. I'm trying to work on my headphones or something going goofy. There's been a problem here lately, and Tom Reed's going to come and help me fix it soon. So right now it's kind of just giving me a hassle. So anyway, he sees these guys running and running towards him. And he thinks he's safe. And they run right by him and a fight ensues as the competition tries to steal pieces of the tire that he's using. And he soon discovers, you know, they're interested in that, in finding out what's in that, specifically in that Michelin tire that he's using, and not so concerned with him. It was kind of a humorous story just because, you know, he's obviously concerned for his own life, and they're more concerned about protecting the, you know, the intellectual property of this tire. I bet you would never expect to hear me talk about Michelin tires. They're quieter, they're stickier, they're gooier, they last longer than other tires, they'll cost you a little bit more, but I promise you, I have a, I'm crazy into cars. I have a number of cars with over 500 horsepower. I have quite a few cars that have between 500 and 800 horsepower, and I'm kind of past that now. I'm getting too old. It was maybe part of my midlife crisis, but anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there if you care, you know. Some of you, it's budget oriented and whatever. So back to this college thing. So my daughter's going to this quote unquote Christian college, and she starts calling and she starts razzing me about certain things. She comes home pretty rough on me. Gosh darn it, the headphones are working for a sec. And she's pretty rough on me about, you know, this whole capitalism thing and whatnot and so forth. So a friend of mine who is in a certain large denomination, not Catholic, has moved his way up from, you know, pastor to bishop. And now he's essentially, in my opinion, the equivalent of a cardinal. He's the head bishop for a certain church organization, and he's talking to me, and he's asking how my daughter's doing, and I'm telling him this story. He's like, really, 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 you know, and so not much is said, and then I'm talking to my daughter a few weeks later, and I'm like, so how are things going with such and such professor? And she says, well, he left. She goes, I don't know where he went, but I think he's, I don't know. She goes, he just, there. We have a different professor, and that professor is no longer in the school. And so I asked, what about this other professor? One was a woman, one was a man. She says the same thing. I'm like, wow, praise Jesus. Isn't that cool? You know, God got rid of these corrupt professors that were teaching my daughter worldly garbage at a Christian college that was very expensive, by the way. Fortunately, I had put away rare coins for my daughter's college. I had slowly put them away. I'm trying to think. Let's see. She was born in 90, so she probably started college in about 2008, roughly, and then probably graduated in 12 or something like that. And we brought her back up here and put her in another school because we didn't like what's going on. But in the 90s, when she was young, I started to put away rare coins as a savings. Gold, you know, rare gold coins and rare, actually, no, that's not true. Just rare coins in general, a mixture, including, you know, U.S., a lot of cool U.S., Chinese, just stuff that I thought was rare and had potential. So I put a bunch of this stuff away, and I will finish the rest of the story here. I put a bunch of this stuff away for her college fund. Well, it went up so much that I had far, far, ridiculously far more than I needed to pay for her college. Coins that cost me, you know, literally $400, $350, things like that had gone up. You know, some of them were $5,000, $7,000, you know, on up to $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, $15,000 each. They had gone bonkers. And when she was done with school, I had a lot left over. What now? Whoever tells you that story, right? But that's because I was putting coins away in the 90s, which is in my opinion, very similar to right now. Coins run in 10-year cycles, really long tenure, 10 years up, 10 years down, 10 years up, 10 years down. You can go all the way back to the, literally, to the late 1700s. People have been collecting coins forever. You can go back further than that. And they've done this, 10 years up, 10 years down, 10 years up, 10 years down. So we had 10 years up to about 2006 or 7. We had 10 years where they kind of trickled down, 2016, 17. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of them continued to go up, but in general, as a whole. So now we're back in the coming alive stage of coins and bullion too, precious metals. You've seen precious metals have kind of gone nappy pie. I don't know what professional term that is, but precious metals have just kind of chilled out. They've kind of gone into a lull, and it, folks, bottom line, when do you buy? You buy when things are cheap. That's when you buy, right? Well, things are cheap right now when it comes to metals. Buy low, sell high. Do not forget that. So the rest of this story is, so this, and then I'll get to what else we need to cover. So anyway, so I think God's like, praise the Lord, you know, he got rid of these professors. Later on, I'm talking to this individual I told you who went from pastor to bishop to essentially cardinal with this large church. Like I said, not Catholic. I just say that because I know they have a similar structure, and I don't. I mean, in general, the Catholic Church is not a Christian church. Most of the Catholics I know, I do know Catholics that are literally in Bible study fellowship. They can sit there and listen to the Word of God. They can read, study, and fill out answers in the Word of from the Word of God, and still not get it. I cannot even begin to explain that to you. But it happens to be a fact, and I don't know why, but it is. So, but anyway, so this guy says to me, so how'd things turn out with Erica? I said, well, you're not going to believe this. I said, those two professors that were such a problem, they're gone. And he says, you think that's a coincidence, do you? And I said, why? What? Hmm? He said, I'm on the board of those two. Well, he said, I'm on the board of that school and another school. He said, our denomination owns and runs and operates those schools, and I am on the board. So he flew. This is a friend, right? I mean, this is when you know you got a friend in the right place. He flew to this university. He called a meeting with these two professors, not at the same time. And he got out their statements or their professions of faith. They had to sign a profession of faith. And, I mean, it was, these people were teaching homosexuality or homosexual marriage is okay and all kinds of this. Just rubbish, junk, garbage, lies, deceptions, satanic filth. And he called them out on it. They admitted that they'd lied on their profession of faith to get jobs, and both of these professors were terminated. And I had absolutely no idea that he had the pull. I had another situation one time with a mediator in a situation with one of my children who, when they were going to a Christian school, there was a certain set of parents that They laid claim. Apparently, it was the typical school stuff. My son was a couple years older than my daughter, and he'd made some comment at school about a gun, you know, or said he'd shoot somebody or something that, you know, when he was young. I mean, you know how kids are, and then the whole school freaks out, and You know, it's almost like they have, you know, emergency alarms and cops. And I mean, it's like, come on, guys. Yeah, these are kids, you know. These words mean nothing to them. So because of that, this other girl's parents, my daughter was at a sleepover, and this other girl's parents were notified by this girl falsely that my daughter had made. They made up a rumor that my daughter said she'd shoot somebody or some stupid thing like that. If you knew my daughter, first of all, she spent her entire life in gymnastics. She was very, very high ranked, very good. The problem was that her back got bad. And I believe as you get into the higher level eights and nines and all that, they train you so hard for so long, your body cannot grow. This is how they stunt the growth of these girls. So anyway, so she really wasn't involved in a lot of social other activities. She did some track and stuff. But anyway, she's at a sleepover, and then, you know, some rumor girl starts this rumor that she said she'd shoot somebody, you know, because of my son, and, you know, and it was just crazy. And this father comes into my store and says, I just want you to know that your daughter's going to get kicked out of school and all this, and she said this about my daughter and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, what we need to do is get together and we need to pray. Let's get the girls together. Why don't you guys come over to our house for dinner? We'll sit down. We'll have a dinner. And then we'll pray together and talk about it. He goes, we're not letting our children anywhere near your house. And I'm like, okay, so why'd you even come here? I said, so why'd you even come here? What was your purpose in coming here? And he just stood there dumbfounded. He's like, just to tell you. I said, well, thanks. Appreciate it, you know. I don't know what he wanted. So, anyway, this friend of mine who was a pastor was same thing. Calls me, talks to me, asks me how things are going. I kind of tell him the story a little bit. And then these parents are trying to get my daughter kicked out of school, you know. And she's like 4.0, perfect, never been in trouble. Like, the worst thing she did her whole life growing up was she threw an egg one time, you know, or something like that, you know. And, I mean, it's just like she never did anything wrong, ever. You never had to get her up to go to school. You never had to tell her to do her homework, nothing. I mean, she just was really perfect. And so it ends up that they end up, and these parents just want her out of the school. I mean, it's just absolute vindictive and hateful and whatever. So they call in a mediator. The mediator happens to be the person I'm talking about. And I had discussed it with the guy. He claims that he doesn't remember the discussion, which may be true. But anyway, he mediates and he says, have you gotten together to pray with these people? And he basically gives them the same exact suggestion that I had given them. And he says, I think you should probably get together with these people and pray and, you know, get the girls together and work things out. And these people said, we don't want anything to do with it. And God has nothing. They said, God has nothing to do with this, I think is what their answer was. They were quite the bitter couple. We'll just say that. And so another situation like that. So enough of that, right? So let's do something that we're supposed to do a lot and we never quite get to. We are going to talk about true wealth. Okay, so here's what we've been doing. So each week I get going and I kind of repeat the same stuff. So I kind of get after this, you know, I talk about I'm going to go really fast now. We're in a post 9/11 world, right? Post 9/11. We've whether you like it or not, whether you're notified or not, whether you're aware or not, we have a financial market and currency meltdown globally that is imminently impacting our markets. So things are getting more and more expensive, and people are not getting commensurate raises. They cannot get by. They can't pay their bills. Because the consumer price index The CPI does not include food, transportation. It's an exclusionary index that doesn't include food, transportation, real estate, or energy costs in general, which comprises 85% of what the average American spends their disposable income on. So basically, people are slowly dying and going broke. I mean, I hate to say it, but there we are. That's what it is, okay? So, and then I've talked about, you know, the tremendous growth in the metals since we went off the gold standard, where metals were fixed. You know, gold was $20 an ounce. Silver was in the pen, you know, below a buck. And then we had the quick run up in the Hunt Brother days, 1980, which was just an instant blip on the screen, and down it came. And then we moved into the 80s, where rare coins went bonkaroos, right? Remember I said they run in 10-year up and down cycles? Well, by guess what the peak was? 87. 67. Believe it or not, 47. 1927. These are all years of extremely rare coins and years of cycles. So 87 was the peak of a big year in coins. And then the 90s went into the dull roar. Metals got quiet. Coins got cheaper. But it compressed itself. I call it packing down the dirt. It's good stuff. Why is it good stuff? Because it cleans out the chaff. When the market gets hot, too hot, everything gets hot, and people start paying silly money for coins that aren't worth it, okay? So we try to sell you stuff that has true demand, and then precious metals and whatnot. What's most important, in my opinion, is wealth and capital preservation. You want to save your money. You want to preserve and protect your wealth. You do not, you're not, this is, we're not in the get rich quick scheme business, right? I wish we could be. You know, we saw a nice run in the metals here a while ago, and we're going to see another one, and that's great. But the bottom line is that should never be your purpose in buying. Your purpose in buying is to hold the metals in order for them to grow, and to preserve and protect in a fashion that will not hurt you, that your money is safe and secure from now and evermore type thing, right? So that's the business we're in. We're building you a solid portfolio, but I'm going to be honest. It's long-term, right? Market cycle up, market cycle down. You watch if you look at the charts, the historical charts of the Dow, you will not even believe what you're looking at. It has been so volatile and so up and so down and so high and so low. And it's been frankly terrifying, in my opinion. It's not where you want to be. Now, right now, folks, I'll tell you 100% honesty. I would never, ever let my money go into stock right now. It's just reckless. I mean, not to mention we could be on the brink of literally Armageddon. I mean, we've got a lot going on. We've got, you know, Trump. I think Trump's sincerely trying to, you know, and maybe North Korea plays games or whatever. But when the curveball comes, it's going to come from somewhere that we don't see it coming. Something's coming. We're going to have, you know, it's like, what was it yesterday? Somebody shot down two Indian aircraft. I can't remember who it was. Pakistan, maybe. I don't remember who it was. But, you know, something's going to happen, and it's just where we're at. There's too much tension. The world's held together by rubber bands, and the rubber bands are all stretched thin. Okay. So, when do you buy? You buy low and you sell high. So, folks, I'm just telling you, build your portfolios now. I've discussed the fact that the Dow and the S&P 500 indexes are artificially manipulated. They remove and replace poor performing stocks. You and I don't get that luxury. Boy, do I wish we did, but we don't. They use a 200-day weighted moving average. There's all kinds of things they do. It's fake. They have a plunge protection team and so on. the performance of actual stocks versus metals since, say, you know, January of 2000, before 9/11. Metals have far outperformed stocks. Now, you look at the charts and you go, wait a minute, it doesn't look, you know, it looks equal or whatever. No, because you're looking at the indexes. You need to go back to January 1 or whatever you want to do. Say January 1 of 2000. Pick the stocks that were in the Dow at the time, okay? And track those 10 stocks or those 30 stocks, I'm sorry. And you'll find that those stocks have done terrible. They, you know, in general, they've been removed and replaced. The majority of them are long gone. Okay, they're gone. They're done. They wiped out dust. You can't do that with metals. They are what they are. So just realize that. The items that are excluded from the consumer price index have gone up far faster, far more aggressively than the items that are not. So here we go. We've got monetary inflation, which is the creation of money from thin air. We've got John Maynard Keynes, who created our economic system. He said that it is about the money. He said that his system was the necessary ingredient for socialism to prevail. And he was a hardcore socialist. Socialism's terrifying, folks. You think of all of the things that have been, all the terrible, terrible, terrible things that have happened at the hands of socialism. How many people have died, you know, and how bad it's been and how destructive it is. That, you know, you look at, you know, Russia even and KGB and, you know, these terrible interrogations and crimes against the state. And then you get the Stalins and Mussolinis and even Hitler and, you know, down the list you go of absolute just sheer destruction. Why? You've got your classical liberalism's liberation of mankind. It's the difference between man and God, right? Socialism is a man-run government. Our system, the Republic of America, the United States, which a democratic republic, I guess we'll call it, is led and controlled by God. That's the difference. That is the flat bottom line difference between the two. And you just have to make a decision. Are you for God or are you for man? Do you want a God-run government or a man-run government? And socialism is a man-run government. Well, we've seen in every case why. Why do they go broke? They confiscate everything everybody owns. And I mean everything goes to the state. I have a friend whose grandfather was created cigars, a big cigar manufacturer in Cuba, big bucks, had over 100 homes. He rented them out. The new socialistic government came to him and said, pick a house. He's like, what do you mean? Pick a house. You get to pick a house. You get to pick a house. He's like, well, I don't understand. You get to keep one house. We get the rest. And they say estimates suggest that as many as 64 to 68 million people have died at the hands of communist regime in the ways, you know, in these terrible, horrible, you know, mass murders. The entire history of communism in the 20th century is tyranny, torture, and terror, okay? Now, one country that followed the Soviet revolutionary model, okay, which is how it all kind of started. In fact, I could back up a little bit, but I mean, you know, to the point where they're you know, taking out gold fillings and, you know, I mean, it's just bad, bad, bad. It was bad. You know, they take these people where they'd be placed on steel tables and gold fillings are removed from their teeth and their bodies are carried out to the basement through a back door and put in trucks to be buried in nameless mass graves with others who went through, you know, this, the conveyor belt of KGB horror. That's Russia alone. I think 3 weeks earlier, you know, there's a guy I was reading about who said in Austria, and they visited the Nazi concentration camps at Mauthausen near the city of Linz, which, you know, after they'd seen the KGB headquarters in Lithuania, was how similar the Nazi and Soviet methods had been. The same steps and stages of arrest, psychological terror, interrogation, torture, murder, trap doors behind a meter stick, removal of gold fillings. The only differences between the German National Socialist and Soviet Communist techniques was that the Nazis threw the dead bodies into ovens to reduce them to ash and bone chips before disposal. The Soviets simply discarded the bodies in mass graves. This isn't even mentioning Mao Zedong. You know, so you go through all this history of this classical liberalism and on and on and on and on and on. So I don't want to do that today. What I want to do today is keep going on our financial journey. And this is something you need to know about. Our deficit, we've discussed, is over $22 trillion. We've got interest approaching $5 trillion a year, interest costs. Tax revenue is now up to $4 trillion a year, I think. I'm not sure. It was $2 trillion when I wrote this a few years ago. This welfare, warfare, necessary smokescreens have now become both welfare and warfare. To hide the imminent implosion. We've got unfunded liabilities of well over $200 trillion, which the revenue stream, it's impossible. It's purely impossible. The dollar's performance has lost over 99.5% of its spending power since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913. The dot-com craze was a casino boom. You've got accelerating threats. Geez, there's so much stuff here, I don't know where to go. Basically, $100 in 1913, now it greatly exceeds $10,000 in spending to get the same thing. China's just absolutely promising this new world currency. They go along with Trump. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think they fear Trump, but I think they're also stroking his ego. But they are all China, Russia, you know, North Korea, the United Nations. They're all demanding a new world currency. The dollar is the gold standard of the oil bourse, oil trade, according to the Bretton Woods Act of 1946. And so it's, you know, I think you get the picture. It's who wants to do that? First of all, these other countries that aren't too fond of us don't like that, number one. Number two, they're doing everything in their power to put an end to it. They're going to put an end to it. It's in their DNA. It's in their commitment. That's what they're driving to do, to absolutely get rid of the dollar in whole, completely and totally. Understand that, folks. That day will come. The day will come when the dollar is rubbish. We've already got an acceptance globally of other currencies. The dollar is becoming less and less popular. I've done some international travel, and I've been shocked, actually, at like, what? You know, you're not excited about the dollar? I mean, I've traveled internationally for decades, and I've never, ever seen a time like this where they just don't want the dollar. And I think that just tells you a lot about what's going on out there. And you know, but what are you preparing yourself with? That's the point. Precious metals-based assets. Why? Well, they've lasted forever. God said they're money. They always have been, starting in Genesis chapter 2. They've been at the core. God in Genesis chapter 2 said, this is the stuff, it's the best. He used the word tov, T-O-W-B, or T-O-V-B, just absolute complimentary word for the best, the greatest, for health, wealth, investment, you name it. That's God. That's his definition. He created God. These are divinely, gold and silver are divinely created elements, period. Okay, that's important to know and understand. Why? Why is it important to understand and know? Because it's true wealth. It's a way for you to preserve and protect. Now, what's the problem with the American system? Two things. Number one, get rich quick. We're impatient. We want to be instantly gratified. We want our money to grow like a weed right now, yesterday. We want a stock that goes from, you know, $40 a share to $40,000 a share. That's America. Welcome to America. But no, that's not realistic. It's not going to happen. If it does, it's a fluke. You should be just overjoyed with gratitude. Other than that, give it up. Forget about it. Don't go that route. Don't think that way. That's all I'm telling you. So just avoid that like the plague. That's not the thing. You want to preserve and protect your wealth. Now, you look at it and you say, well, it's kind of held its own there. It's kind of stayed relatively flat. Well, you know, it's better than losing money, which a lot of people, you know, have lost their tails. But do you think people brag about that? No, they really don't. They keep it to themselves. They really do. People just tend to not brag that, I guess, I don't know if I'd call it bragging, but they keep it to themselves, okay? So please understand that precious metals based assets are your one and only true financial savior. So don't put all your money in it. I don't care. Just get some, you know, get enough. Put what you cannot afford to lose in hard assets. I can tell you from a lot of experience, real estate is fun to own-ish. Very expensive. You can go buy raw dirt. How fun's that to own? Not at all. You can go buy a waterfront cabin. You know, you've got maintenance, big deal. But what's worse is you've got taxes up the, you know, zinger. I mean, big time taxes. And they've grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. Everybody's moving out to Coeur d'Alene. There's a huge construction boom going on out there. Contractors out there are getting rich, filthy rich. A few that I know are just, I mean, it's out of control. They're charging just exorbitant fees. There's, you know, wealth, people with big, big bucks, money burning a hole in their pocket are buying, you know, real estate like waterfront. But the thing is, it's a hard asset, so it's cool to own, but you got to maintain it and you got to pay the taxes on it. And you certainly can't pick it up and take it with you. I guarantee you that. So what's true wealth? What's real money? The Bible, which I respect dearly, is very clear that gold and silver is real money, precious metals-based asset. A lot of countries are wanting a new currency. If enough countries want it long enough, what's going to happen? It'll happen. What happened to countries that refused our currency? Saddam Hussein, dead. Hosni Mubarak, deposed. Gaddafi. I mean, Gaddafi gave up his nukes and his weapons and agreed to go along with us. So what did we do? Obama and Hillary had him brutally slain. I mean, terrible. And then they took his weapons and transferred them to Syria, who in turn transferred them to ISIS, who created the war against the United States, because all indications, I'm being kind, are that Obama is a Muslim. And he was doing everything to pay back the king of Saudi Arabia for a $500 million donation to his campaign through a system which was flawed, which did not appropriately show the incoming money, because they had intentionally broken the system and didn't follow the rules and blah, blah, blah. I heard Elizabeth Warren, who's the kook, you know, Trump calls her Pocahontas because she's the one that tries to say she's got Indian blood in her. She's as white as a sheet, and she claims she's part Indian, Native American, because she went through college and abused all the minority programs by saying she was part Native American, and, you know, things like that just don't do me well. So the accelerating threats to the constitutional privacy rights, right? We've got the Patriot Act. We've got the NDAA, expanded NSA authority. I mean, the NSA is out of control. We have no clue. Now, friends I know that are highly tied into overseas, you know, we have laws to protect our privacy here. So when they break all these laws, they hide them and lie about them. Over there in Afghanistan and Iraq and all these other countries in Northern Europe and or Northern Africa and things like that, they don't have to hide it. They do use every kind of drone and every kind of illegal surveillance you can imagine that's illegal here. So they're doing this crazy. So we have tremendous threats to our constitutional privacy. They just hide it here, okay? But I guarantee you, your phones, your internet, your wireless transfers, you know, money transfers. We had some guy here recently trying to transfer money from Japan, and he was trying to do it in $9,000 increments, and I'm like, dude, I did not know what, my employee didn't know what he was doing. I said, I know what he's doing. He's trying to hide international, and he's not a terrorist. He's just buying a stupid coin, but he's paranoid. We get people that try to buy less than $10,000 in metals at a time because they think it's not being reported. Forget about it. You're recorded everywhere you go, unless you're driving a, you know, an 80-year-old car and you live in a cardboard box and you never talk on a phone and you never go out in public, so you're never picked up by a camera. I mean, they've got technology now where they can get a voice signature. They pick up people in other countries. You could, if they had your voice signature and wanted you, you could be in a cafe in France having lunch with a friend, talking to that friend. The lady next to you's phone would be on. They can pick up your voice signature from somebody else's telephone who's not even on it, who just has it turned on. This is where we've gone. And overseas, they do this stuff crazy because they're not bound by the same laws that we have. So just, you know, understand that's the world we're living in. Every form of technology is used, unfortunately, eventually, if it's good, for welfare. How about warfare? And that's where we're at right now. We've talked about the dot-com craze, the big boom. Everybody wants that big boom back. So we've got Trump, you know, pushing things, and you know, we've got this market way up. But what's going on? Nobody's got any money. I mean, I can tell you, I know so many business owners other than construction. And construction is the top 1%ers that have money that it was in the stock market that they made a bunch of money on too fast. And they're doing everything in their power to get it out and put it into real estate. The problem is they're puffing up real estate right now. There's the next bubble, another one that's going to blow high-end real estate. So prepare for that beauty. John Maynard Keynes, I mentioned a while ago, the best way to destroy the capitalist systems to debauch the currency. He says, by a continuing process of inflation, governments confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. They want to inflate your currency. They want to strip away your ability to buy. They want to take away your buying power. Precious metals will based assets will save you. You know, they'll sit there for a while. They'll make them look ugly. They manipulate the COMEX with contract trades that are far beyond. They'll have like 700,000 or 800,000 ounces of silver in reserves, and then they'll let these central banks buy 20 million ounce contracts. That's what determines spot price, okay? It's all manipulated. Trust me, it's manipulated. Precious metals are private, anonymous, transportable, and immediately liquid anywhere and at any time globally. Anywhere and at any time globally. That, my friends, is the point, okay? Coins Plus is a full-service dealer broker depository service. We have the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western region, and that's what I've been trying to go through you with. I just want you to understand, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Don't procrastinate. Every great empire in history is converted to fiat currency. Every one of them has collapsed. We'll go over more of this as time goes on. The fundamentals of investing. Important stuff. Important, important stuff. So, Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN. Discuss it again. Google reviews. 5-star review, guaranteed silver dollar. Take care. God bless. And come and see us. Let us help you build a portfolio. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care. See you next time. Bye-bye.